Okay. Thank you. Today we are looking at, we'll start looking at the book of Samuel. And for today we are looking at the chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, and it's about 28 verses. Okay, so let's go ahead with the study. Today's study focuses on the two wives of Elkanah, Peninnah and Hannah. The study goes into details about Hannah's struggle with her barrenness, which was ordained by the Lord, and Peninnah's endless torment of Hannah to make her miserable. In Hannah's desperation, he made a vow to the Lord that if the Lord will give her a man child, then she will give him to the Lord as long as he lives. The Lord answered Hannah's prayer as she gave birth to a boy called Samuel, who was eventually given to the Lord to work under Eli, the high priest. As we are aware, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh or the letter profits nothing. In this study of the book of Samuel, shall look at the spiritual significance and not focus on the stories which will not benefit us. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." So we start with introducing Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. "And there was a certain man of Ramoth in Zophim from the hills of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the second, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." Elkanah means God has possessed. Was an Ephraimite who lived with his two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. As we are aware, a woman represents a church, either positively or negatively. The fact that Peninnah had many children while Hannah was barren means that Peninnah represents the church system of this world, or Babylon, or Jerusalem, which has many children but is in bondage with her children. In other words, the church system of this world has many members, while the church of the firstborn of the Lord's elect has few people. Of course, this is in accordance with the will of God, that many are called, but few are chosen. The called are many. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22 to 27. "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, in answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, thou bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that bearest not, that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband." The name Peninnah suggests the kind of woman she signifies. Peninnah means coral, which is a hard, stony substance secreted by certain marine creatures in the sea. In simple terms, Peninnah represents the woman dominated by the sea of flesh, that is the hard, stony substance from the sea, which cannot submit to the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 8 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." On the other hand, Hannah symbolized the church of the Lord's elect, or Jerusalem, which is above. Her barrenness was ordained by the Lord to show us how his church must be barren in this age until the lake of fire age, when his elect as saviors shall bring salvation to the whole of the human race from Adam to date. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The name Hannah means grace, and we know that it is by grace through faith that we are saved. Every elect knows that our salvation is not by ourselves. It is the work of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni, Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her children and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Shiloh means rest, and therefore the Lord of hosts being at Shiloh signifies that knowing Jesus entails being at rest in him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man, after the same example of unbelief. However, when we are operating under the law of Moses, we find no rest in the Lord, because being under the law of Moses is about trying to obey the laws by ourselves. This brings about frustration because we end up failing to obey. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Elkanah's religious adherence to the yearly worship and sacrifice to the Lord at Shiloh, together with his wives, signifies that the church of the Lord's elect, together with the church system of this world, all start their walk with the Lord, with the law of Moses, which does not bring us the way of peace or rest. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 8 to 10. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. The mention of Hophni and Phinehas as priests of the Lord at that time in Shiloh is to make us aware of the deplorable state of the leaders of the church system of this world into which we were ushered at the beginning of our walk with Christ. This is what the word of the Lord says about Hophni and Phinehas, who were sons of Eli, the high priest. Isaiah chapter First Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12 and 17. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhor the offering of the Lord. According to Strong, the sons of Eli, being referred to as sons of Belial, is to show us their deplorable state as they epitomize wickedness. One of the principles of the word of the Lord is the is, was, and will be nature. If at the time of Hannah, the leaders of the church system of her day were sons of wickedness, then it means that the situation today is the same. That is, evil men are in leadership. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Micah chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Your leaders exchange justice for bribes. Your priests teach for a price. Your prophets tell the future for money. But they rely on the Lord when they say, after all, the Lord is with us. Nothing bad will happen to us. Because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a pile of rubble, and the Temple Mountain will become a worship site covered with trees. This Bible verse in Micah is very, very, very. I mean, of course, every word of the Lord is true, but it's what is happening now is reflected here so much. I mean, I was talking to a friend a few days ago, and he was talking about the honorarium that these pastors they receive when they go and preach in each other's what do you call it, church. Up to some of them charge as much as $200,000, some $300,000. Those are the, and even in my country here, Ghana, they charge as much as $50,000 to go and preach. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. There's a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people laugh to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? As we can see from verses 3 and 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 1 above, the Lord, represented here by Elkanah in his wisdom, has given to both the church system of this world, represented by Peninnah, and the church of the Lord's elect, something to offer to him. Psalm 106, verse 12 and 13 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." However, as we can see in verse 5, the Lord always gives his elect a worthy portion to offer because he loves his elect. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 and 4. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry." In spite of the Lord's love for the church of the firstborn or of his elect, he has shut her womb. This is signified by Hannah not able to give birth, despite the love that the husband Elkanah had for her. Galatians chapter 4, verse 27 says, "For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, thou bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. And her adversary also provoked her soul for to make her fret, because the Lord has shut her womb. And as she did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eat thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? What happened to Hannah is the same that is happening to the church of the Lord, of the Lord's elect in every generation. To our brothers and sisters in the churches of this world, we are barren. And therefore, the established church system of this world, or Babylon, is always provoking us sorely. They do not know that the Lord's plan entails having few people as his elect in this age, as saviors for the whole of humanity. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. This brings to mind the 300 men who were chosen by Gideon to engage the Midianite in a battle. To a carnal man, they are too many. They are too few or barren compared with the total army strength of 32,000 men who initially assembled to take on the Midianite. Judges chapter 7, verse 2 to 7. It says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianite into their hands, lest Israel vow to themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say to thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I say to thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the river, unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that laughs of the water with her tongue, as a dog laughs, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that laughed, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down their knees to drink water. It means that they just whatever is given to them, they take in. They don't, what do you call it, compare scripture to see that whatever they are saying is true. And that is what the 300 represent. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that laughed will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. Let all the other people go, everyone into his place. This is what is playing out today. The church system has many people. And as this story suggests, they just bow down and drink water. Or in other words, they just take in whatever is given to them without checking to see whether what they are getting is right or not. It is insightful to note in verse 8 that Elkanah was doing everything possible to comfort Hannah, letting her know that having him as a husband is better than 10 sons. The Lord is always with us, comforting and urging us on and letting us know that when we have him, he is more than 10 sons. In other words, when we have him as our husband, he is more than having all fleshly men. That's the significance of the number 10. of the 10 men on our side? Do you feel that you are alone in all your struggles? No, you are not alone. You have Jesus and an innumerable company of angels on your side. Here's what the word of the Lord says about this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. But you have come unto Mount Zion. Our gathering here is Mount Zion, and the city unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, unto the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The birth of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaiden, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thee handmaid, unto thy handmaid, a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. When we are under the judgment of the Lord, we are in bitterness of soul, and our recourse is to pray to the Lord, who is able to make a way of escape with the purpose of making us able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. There is nothing wrong in weeping when we are under the Lord's judgment of our old man or flesh. However, the Lord has assured us that after weeping comes joy in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 2 to 5. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 11 and 12. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my clothes and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. In verse 11, we see the purpose of the church of the Lord's elect, represented here by Hannah's promise that if she gives birth to a man child, she will wholly dedicate him to the Lord. The church purpose is to bring forth a man child or men children dedicated wholly to the Lord. We can see in a negative sense that since Hannah was under the law of Moses, she can signify the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, who travailed in birth and brought forth a man child who was caught up to God. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to 5. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailed in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child. who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up with unto God and to his throne. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12 to 16. And it came to pass as he continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked a mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long would thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. As Hannah continued to gloom before the Lord, Eli, who represents the leadership of the church system of this world, thought she was drunk. Indeed, our brothers and sisters think there is something wrong with us. Just as on the day of Pentecost, the church system of the disciples' day taught that the disciples were drunk. Psalm 38, verse 9. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Psalm 102, verse 20. To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to lose those that are appointed to death. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the Lord of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Our petition before the Lord shall not go unanswered. These are some of the assuring words that the Lord has given to us to wait in expectation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 23 and 24. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and whilst they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah verse 18 shows us that after Hannah had prayed to the Lord, she went her way and did eat, and after which her countenance was no more sad. This is another way of saying the following. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. It takes the Lord's remembrance for things to happen. Our efforts are in vain without the Lord's remembrance. This does not mean that the Lord forgets. It is a biblical expression to show us that when the set time comes, according to the Lord's agenda, he performs it. Psalm 98, verse 3. He has remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the end of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Psalm 105, verse 8. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Psalm 105, 42. For he has remembered his holy promise to Abraham, his servant. Hannah's pregnancy and everything that pertains to the birth of Samuel are all written in the Lord's books. In other words, the Lord has written everything we will do in this life before we were born. Psalm 139, verse 15 and 16 says, "Nothing about me is hidden from you. I was secretly woven together deep in the earth below. But with your own eyes, you saw my body being formed. Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything I will do." Therefore, when we find ourselves in difficult situations with no way of escape, we must remember that what we are going through is all written in his book. And therefore, at the right time, the Lord will intervene in our circumstance and bring us to an expected end. He will never leave us alone. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to 14. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." There are times that I go through certain situations when I wonder whether all of these are written in his book concerning me. Then it will dawn on me that all of these are written, and therefore the solutions to all of these challenges are also written concerning me. That is when it comes, I come to realize that whatever situation I find myself in, it shall not hold me back from the love of the Lord. Samuel given to the Lord. First Samuel chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. "And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for he said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." Hannah did not go to offer the yearly sacrifice and her vows because she wanted the child to be weaned and presented to the Lord as a mature young boy so that he will abide in the Lord's presence forever. The focus of the church of the Lord's elect is therefore to prepare God's people to mature so that we shall abide permanently in the house of the Lord. This preparation involves helping the Lord's people to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil and knowing that his rod and his staff are comforting us. Being mature also entails seeing the goodness and mercy of the Lord, which will make us dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, verse 4 to 6. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 23. "And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seems thee good. tarry until thou have weighed him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son's sack until she weighed him. The Lord has already shown us what is good to us. That is, the church must focus on the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry and edifying of the body of Christ, so that we all come in the unity of the faith. In other words, the church must weigh the babies in Christ. That is what the Lord, through Elkanah, was telling the church, represented by Hannah. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown me, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God. Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the spirit of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The last part of 1 Samuel chapter 1 says, 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 24 to 28, and when she had weighed him, she took him up with her, and with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thou so livest, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. In the Old Testament time, those who offer a bullock or an ox as sacrifice to the Lord were regarded as very rich. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4 says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but which much increase is by the strength of the ox. Anna offering three bullocks therefore implies that it is through the process of spiritual maturity, through the Lord's judgment, that the church of the Lord's elect becomes spiritually rich. Offering three bullocks, an ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine implies that the church of the firstborn is spiritually rich in the knowledge of the truth of the word of the Lord, as flour and wine are all symbols of the word of the Lord. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In these verses, Eli represents the Lord. Leaving Samuel under the care of Eli as long as he lives is the same as having lent Samuel to the Lord. According to Brown Driver Briggs, lent can mean to borrow. This shows that Samuel being lent to the Lord means borrowing from the Lord. Samuel here signifies the elect, and therefore Samuel being lent to the Lord means we, his elect, are debtors to the Lord. As the parable of the unforgiving servant suggests, we are all debtors to Christ because of sin. By the death of Christ, we are set free from being debtors because of sin. However, as the word of the Lord shows us, we are still debtors. But in this case, it is in regard to putting to death the evil deeds of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 and 13 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. May the Lord help us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Amen.